Yes, hello, Albert Hemphill.
Yes.
My name's Craig Ranke. I'm an independent journalist. Are you the same Albert Hemphill who witnessed the Pentagon attack on 9/11?
I am indeed. How'd you track me down?
Just looked it up on the white pages online.
Okay.
Talking to various witnesses, actually. I've spoken with quite a few of them. And you've definitely had one of the more circulated accounts, although I'm not aware that you've... I've never really read it in any media outlet. I've just seen an email that you put out and somebody else published.
I had a buddy that a Marine that I was talking to, and he called me up and said, "Well, what did you actually see?" And I said, "Well, I'll pop you an email." And so I wrote the email out. And, my God, it got forwarded around the world, I think.
I'll tell you, yeah.
That was not the intent.
Has any media outlet ever talked to you about your experience?
Channel 7 interviewed myself and a guy named Terry Morin, who was working at the Navy Annex also at the time. And Terry and I both appeared on Channel 7. And that was it. And then after that, I pretty much, occasionally, I'd get asked some questions about it, but I've been on the website times and looked at the conspiracy theorists and all that crap, and it gets so irritating, you know, because you got these nutcases that are saying that the military did it, it was a cruise missile and all that kind of crap, and it just reaches the point where you just don't even want to talk about it.
Right. Well, I can tell you I've spoken with dozens of people who saw the plane, so there's pretty much no question there's a plane there. But yeah, you definitely have one of the more interesting accounts in the sense that you were at the Navy Annex right there at the 8th Wing right there with the view of the Pentagon, right?
Yeah, it was Wing 8 of the Navy Annex, which is now gone. They tore it down to the Air Force Memorial five years ago.
Mm-hmm. And so you were inside, you said, you mentioned, was it Gary Ramos's office?
Yeah, well, Gary and I actually shared an office at the time because we were working on a special project for the director, Ron Kadish. And so I had my regular office was back down in another wing, and so I went up there, and we had kind of shared arrangement there. It wasn't a real big office, but there was enough room for us to work.
Now, was this office located, would you say, perhaps in the center of the Navy Annex or more towards the north side or the Arlington Cemetery side or the south side, which would be the Columbia Pike side?
More towards the cemetery side.
Okay.
It was close, a little bit... if you go up to the Navy Annex now and you look at Wing 7, if you look at the topmost, are you familiar with it at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, if you look at the top floor and you see at the very end on the cemetery side, that is Pat O'Reilly's office, who's the general that runs the place now. And if you count... probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, about 8 windows, 9 windows over. That would be the equivalent.
Oh, okay. So, towards the center, but more on the north side of the building.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Were you in the office alone when you witnessed the attack, or was Gary there too?
No, it's just me. The way it happened was, I'm sure you've read the account, but. We were working a major revision to the structure of the Ballistic Missile Defense Organization at the time. And so I had been out checking on some stuff, came back up into the secure conference room, and they had on the TV, on the screens, on the big screens that are in there. And so I said, "Hey, man, did you hear what happened?" I go, "No, what?" And I said, "Well, a plane hit the Trade Center in New York," and I figured, yeah, it's probably a helicopter or, you know, a Cessna 172 or something that had hit. So while we were standing there looking at the screen, kaboom, here came the other one. And I said, we're under attack. That's a large aircraft. Jesus Christ, you know, we were all just freaking. So Kadish came in. He was wanting to use the conference room. So I exited and we went out. So I walked into the office there where Gary and I shared the office. I'm looking out the window thinking to myself, my God, what's this world coming to? Jesus Christ. And then I hear a roar, and I look out the window, airplane. I mean, that guy missed the Navy Annex by 15, 20 feet.
So what do you mean? Are you saying it was off to the side of the Navy Annex, or?
No, he would have been over my right shoulder.
But you saw the fuselage appear from, was it directly over the top of the Navy Annex, or?
Right over the top, right over the top. I drew a picture of what I saw for FBI agent Heidi Messerschmidt. That is, of all names, Messerschmidt, that was really her name. She was one of the investigating officers that came up and talked to me.
Yeah.
And being kind of an artsy guy, I can draw. And so I said, here, I'll draw you what I saw. Because when she first came up and was wanting to talk to me, she says, well, we can just interview you down here. And I said, no. You got to come up to the office and you got to see this. And so as soon as she walked in, she walked up and she saw the window. She goes, oh, my God, you had the ringside seat. You saw it all. And I go, yeah. You know, you could see him go right over the, by where the gas station is. He clipped the street light.
Well, wait a second. Let me ask you. When you saw it pass the gas station, did it look like it was flying straight or banking or turning?
Diving. You could hear the spooling of the engines, the distinctive whine of those things being wound up. And he kicked in. In my opinion, it looked like he kicked in a little bit, right rudder and threw in some aileron, because he hit the Pentagon at about the second window level. He did not hit the ground. He did not touch the ground. It smacked right into the building.
Now, when you saw it, let's back up a little bit. When you saw it past the gas station, what side of the gas station was it on? Was it on the Arlington Cemetery or north side, or else perhaps the south side, the other side?
You know, it's hard to say. It looked like it went right over the top to me, you know, because of the way his flight path was. But, you know, he would have come pretty much right smack over the top of it and right over the bridge there that takes you over to, I think in the write-up I did all those years ago, I said 110. I meant 27.
Right.
But he went right over there towards where the heliport was. So if you go from where the old heliport was, and you draw a line straight back over the Navy Annex, it's going to take you pretty much over the gas station.
Okay. But would you say, if you had to say that it was leaning towards one side or the other of the gas station, perhaps a portion of the plane, or did it look directly over the top, or what do you think?
Yeah, I'd say more towards the cemetery side.
A little bit more towards the cemetery side. Okay. And well, it was interesting because you also mentioned that the blast from the explosion knocked you back onto the desk.
Yeah, it was like a shock wave of like a 2,000 pounder going off.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just you could hear the deep rumble, and then boom! It just caused everything on the annex to just shake,
mm-hmm.
and stuff rattled, and it just forced me back on the desk.
Now, did you hear that? Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I interrupted. So, fortunately.
No, it just the heavy, thunderous boom, you know.
So it forced you back on the desk, but it didn't, like, knock you down or anything?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
All right, now, it's interesting, too, because you mentioned that you estimated it was. Well, let me. Did you actually hear it before you saw it?
Did I say again, please?
Did you hear the plane before you saw it?
No.
You actually?
I heard the roar right as he was in the window. Because I'm looking right out the window.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty, I would say, as best I can recollect, it was pretty much simultaneous, you know.
Okay. Did you see it actually hit light poles, or did you just hear about that afterwards?
No, I saw him clip it.
Saw it clip a light pole?
Yeah.
Did you notice the cab or anything like that?
No, I don't remember seeing a cab. I've heard that one. I don't remember a cab. It may have been there, but there's so much going on. You know, you only have a sight picture there. I mean, we're talking seconds. So, you know, you have to, when people say stuff like that, you have to be careful that you don't absorb in, you know, stuff that they have said that you didn't really see, that it correlates with your story and what you witnessed.
Right.
And I don't recall seeing the cab. I really don't.
Okay. But you say you're absolutely certain you did see it clip a light pole?
Yeah, because there was a flash with it, you know.
A flash? Did you see a light pole go flying or anything like that?
No. You could see a glint or something, a flash of it, a wing catching it or something.
Interesting. Did you see it hit more than one pole or just one?
Just one is all I picked up. It may have been more. I don't know.
Right. Now, you said it was at a dive. Did it look like it actually impacted, you said, around the second floor? Was it in a descent at that period, or did it ever level off?
I personally think he got into a little ground effect, and I think there was a degree of leveling off, maybe, and the tails looked like it may have started to sink in just a hair, but that's hard to say. Again, I only had a quick look at it there as it happened.
Well, yeah, you mentioned in your account that you think you saw it, you estimated about 3 seconds, but you
are... Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, and you also estimated that the speed was perhaps between 250 and 350 knots, right?
Yeah, that was my guess. He was actually going a little faster than that, as I understand.
Okay.
He was clean, though. He did not have his gear down. There were no flaps that were down.
All right. Now, there's... a lot of stories about a second plane, and you seem to have mentioned that in your account as well, a C-130.
Yep, I saw a C-130, without doubt.
About how soon after the explosion did you see the C-130?
Oh, God, that had to have been ten or 15 minutes. Yeah, we'd already exited the building.
Okay.
And we're outside when I saw the C-130. He seemed to be, I figured, outbound from Andrews. And he was probably, maybe 8,000 to 10,000 feet heading westerly.
It was heading in a westerly direction?
Yeah.
So did you only see it flying away, or did you see it approach the airspace above the Pentagon?
No, he was departing. He was outbound. He was nowhere. Excuse me. Nothing to do with the immediate Pentagon airspace. He was an outbound C-130.
So by the time you got outside, then you're saying you pretty much right away saw that C-130, but it was already flying out, flying away.
Yeah, we were. I guess I saw that. We had already exited to the cemetery side and. Had gone out the exit that is now gone, where there's a footbridge between Wing 7 and Wing 8.
Mm-hmm.
And we had exited out underneath there, and we're into the parking lot. We're trying to get everybody organized to get everybody out, and I looked up and I saw him outbound.
Okay. Yeah, because there's a lot of different accounts of that C-130, right down to somebody who claims that it was literally following the American Airlines jet and shadowing, and that it flew away during the explosion.
Now, the Pentagon was on fire already as I saw this guy, because you know, the impact had happened, and this guy was outbound. And he was, like I said, I know aircraft very, very well, and I know a C-130 when I see it. And I looked up, and I'd say easily 8,000 to 10,000 feet westerly outbound. He had nothing to do with it. That was just a poor bastard that happened to be in the air heading out at that time.
Yeah, his account's pretty well known. Lieutenant Colonel Steve O'Brien was the pilot of that flight, so it's pretty well documented. Okay. That's why it's interesting to hear the different accounts, right down to somebody actually claiming that the plane was shadowing Flight 77 and flying away during the explosion. Now, did you see any other planes flying away at the time of the attack?
The only thing that came in after the Pentagon was on fire was an F-16 came ripping over, and he was went into a very typical military high bank turn right over the Pentagon. And as I've heard, you know, they were from Seymour Johnson, I think. Mm-hmm. But he came ripping up, and it definitely made a ripping noise and got people excited. A lot of us went down to the bridge that takes you to Roslyn, and we're trying to help people, and, you know, it was just a mess. It was a lot of burns.
So are you enlisted military?
Say again?
Are you enlisted military or civilian contractor?
Nope. I am at the time I was a DOD civilian employee. Mm-hmm. I'd been in the reserves many, many, many years ago.
Okay. Well, what we've done, Albert, is spoken with dozens of witnesses. In fact, I've even interviewed Terry Moran himself.
Oh, I know Terry. Good friend.
Yeah, and in fact, your account certainly does corroborate his. He also describes the plane as being right over the top of the Navy Annex. How sure are you that it was directly over the Navy Annex as opposed to being on the complete south end of Columbia Pike? In fact, I mean on the south side of the VDOT building. You know where that communications antenna tower that there is on the other side of Columbia Pike there?
Yeah, I know where it is.
What are the chances that it was on the south side of that, between that and the highway?
I think that's over a little bit far. I mean, I could, from my vantage point, I could, Terry's probably correct as to where he was, that it probably went more over the center of the gas station then, but it definitely was to my right shoulder. So that would correspond, I think, to what Terry has always said.
Well, yeah, no, Terry describes it being absolutely directly over the Navy Annex. Like, he looked up, he was between the wings, and then he said he looked up and saw the belly only. And that after he ran out is when he saw the plane caught again and caught the tail of it. But that it was directly over the Navy Annex, and that seems to correspond with what you're saying here.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you writing this for yourself, or what are you going to
do? Yeah, well, it's a bit more than just an article. And yes, I'm independent. And yeah, you know, as a result of a lot of the questions about the Pentagon attack, what we've done is launch an independent investigation. Because, well, you know, the government hasn't been very forthcoming with evidence regarding the Pentagon, as opposed to the World Trade Center, where we've got these video recordings of the planes going right into those buildings. There, you know, the government hasn't released any video of the Pentagon attack, and that helps help bred a lot of questions, of course.
Yeah.
And plus, of course, the suspicious lack of debris and the anomalous damage to the hull. Naturally, when you're talking about an event as important as this that's been used as the pretext for permanent global war, people are going to have questions.
Right.
So what we've done is made it our mission to talk to as many eyewitnesses as possible. And yeah, because, you know, obviously that's the best source of independent evidence, the people who were there and actually watched the event go down, in order to show people, look, this is the truth, this is what really happened. And, well, what we decided is that we were going to compare what the eyewitnesses said with all the official reports, the official data, as well as the physical damage that has been documented and photographed, and see where that goes. Now, in addition to Terry Moran and yourself, and we have, I spoke with Edward Pake. He's a mechanic who was at the A1 gas station just west of the Navy Annex over there, right between you and the Sheraton. And also, I've spoken with several Arlington Cemetery employees who were right there in the Arlington Cemetery maintenance buildings, which you can see quite well from your window, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And most of these accounts we filmed on location. So we actually have them describing what they saw, exactly what they saw, and, you know, right there in person, exactly where they saw it. So it's pretty compelling because this is something that the media hasn't done. The government certainly hasn't done. We really don't have any official documentation of eyewitnesses, and certainly not filmed on location on the level that we've done.
I've heard from people that the reason that they tore down Wing 8 of the Navy Annex was to take away the look that could ever be corroborated from of what anybody would have seen from the Navy Annex, which is absolutely not true. That deal to take down the Navy, that wing of the Navy Annex, was a deal that was cut between Ron Kadish, who was the three-star director of the Missile Defense Agency, and the Air Force Association, who was advocating the building of the Air Force Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
So those discussions and that deal had long taken place before 9/11.
Well, it's easy to corroborate your account by speaking with several other witnesses who are in the surrounding area, and obviously that critical area between the Navy Annex and the heliport tower is the most important, where people witnessed the most important part of the final moments of this flight. Now, we've also spoken with, I have an interview with Sean Boger, who is the heliport tower air traffic controller. So he actually witnessed that plane come in from over the Navy Annex and then fly past the gas station, and gives a rather compelling account. Basically the complete opposite vantage point that you had.
Yeah. What was his take on it?
Well, he happens to corroborate your account of the plane being directly over the Navy Annex, and corroborate your account that it seemed to be perhaps leaning more towards the north side of the gas station. He said it was on the north side of the gas station. But most importantly, and the most compelling accounts that we've documented, Albert, have been the witnesses who were at the gas station. And I've, in fact, interviewed two Pentagon police officers, Sergeant William Legacy and Sergeant Chadwick Brooks, both of whom were right there at the station, but also Robert Tercios, who's an employee at the gas station. And all three of these witnesses saw the plane as it passed the gas station, and they corroborate each other as well, including you and including Sean Boger. So, and not to mention the Arlington Cemetery guys, they all drew the flight path for me right there on video, and it's rather compelling watching all these accounts match over and over and over, and all describing the plane flying in the exact same place. Now, they all describe it as being between the gas station and Arlington Cemetery, in that little area right there. So, you know, after Columbia Pike turns around, goes in front of the Navy Annex, and starts before it goes underneath the bridge, that's basically where they described it, between on the north side of the gas station, just south of Arlington Cemetery.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate.
Okay. Now, the problem with this...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, anybody who was out and about right then in that area would have had a great vantage point if they were at the gas station.
Precisely. There's zero room for perspective error because they're sitting there on the property, and they're just telling us, hey, you know, where's this plane in relation to the gas station? And they all said it was on the north side. Obviously, if it was on the south side, it'd be pretty difficult for them to make that mistake, if not impossible, let alone all three of them to make that mistake.
Right.
And it's not just them. We're actually, now with your account, we're actually up to 15 witnesses who corroborate this approach of the plane as flying directly over the Navy Annex and then north of the gas station, as you described. Now, here's the problem, Albert. This happens to fatally contradict all official reports, all official data, as well as the physical damage, including where the light poles were. And so this has received quite a bit of attention, and made a lot of people start questioning the account again on different levels. Now, the first report that established that the plane was not in this location, and that it was actually far south of Columbia Pike and far south of the gas station, but between the gas station and Highway 395, as it headed in a straight line, was the 9/11 Commission. They actually played an animation during the 9/11 Commission hearings showing this exact flight path, the entire flight path of Flight 77. And I don't know if you're aware, but in 2006, the NTSB then released the official alleged black box data. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't. No.
Well, it's not surprising because it wasn't covered by the media at all. Nobody really paid much attention to it. However, it was released via FOIA. And we've got experts and pilots who've looked at it. They even put out an animation with this as well. The NTSB did. But this is the FDR data, the flight data recorder. I'm not talking about the cockpit voice recorder.
Right. This gives you the very basics on airspeed, altitude, and angle of attack.
Exact location via lat longs of the plane.
Right. Yep.
Pitch, roll, descent, altitude, all of these things. And even this data... number one, it's anomalous on several levels. It shows an altitude much higher than possible to actually hit the building at all. But number two, it also contradicts what you told us and what all these other witnesses have told us about the location of the plane. And they have it south of the gas station once again, and south of Columbia Pike completely at all times, which really... poses a problem when we compare it with these eyewitness accounts.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the reason it poses a problem is because, in essence, if you study carefully the physical damage, starting with the light poles, there were actually 5 down light poles, Albert. Do you recall the location of the light pole is that you saw get hit?
That was one of the ones that was up there on 27... I believe it was right. Let me think now. You got the bridge. It was on the side of the bridge heading towards Roslyn.
So the north side.
The north side. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there are actually 5 light poles. One of them is on the south side of the bridge. The other one's on the north side of the bridge, and there's 3 others that are on Pentagon property that were downed. Now, the very first pole was completely on the south side of the bridge, and this pole has been photographed laying in the middle of the highway of Route 27 next to the cab that it allegedly hit, and there are pictures of the cab, close up, the cab driver, his name is Lloyd England, showing this 40-foot long light pole laying down next to it with a hole in his windshield. We've actually interviewed the cab driver twice. And in person, and he even took us to his property where he's got the same cab stored and preserved, and actually showed us the cab. Now, this is a rather interesting interview on several levels, compelling, but what he actually claims is that the plane knocked this light pole, and it speared the windshield of his cab, and that he spun out sideways with the 40-foot pole still sticking out of the windshield of his cab. And then he got out of the car unscathed, and a silent stranger helped him remove the pole from his cab and lay it down on the ground. And these are the pictures that we see with the pole and the cab.
I didn't see any of that.
Well, also the problem with this is that there's not a scratch on the hood of his car, so it seems quite odd that a 40-foot pole could actually spear it. He could spin out sideways with it, you know, after being hit by a 90-ton Boeing. And have the hood be unscathed. So this raised a lot of questions. Now, his account has been heavily used and even cited in the Moussaoui trial in government images that were used to establish not only the trajectory but the physical damage caused by this plane. But the problem is, if the plane was where you described it, as well as where all these other witnesses, it's impossible for it to have hit these poles. Absolutely, scientifically, physically impossible. We've got a whole organization of pilots, Pilots for 9/11 Truth, who have carefully mapped out, or figured it out, that in order for the plane to transition from the north side of the gas station where these eyewitnesses document to the south side where the government says that it was, in order to hit these light poles, is simply aeronautically impossible for any fixed-wing aircraft, particularly one traveling at the speeds that they report. Now, that's another thing. The speed that you reported is significantly slower, and even Terry Marin describes a speed much slower than the 535 miles per hour as reported in the flight data recorder.
I found when I did hear the number, and I found that hard to believe, but, you know, I figured, okay, well, you know, they're going off the real data. I'm just going off of my personal estimate, you know, from seeing so many aircraft over the years. I just didn't think he was going that fast.
Well, what is your expertise? I mean, are you a pilot?
Yeah, I had a private ticket, and I flew some stuff in my civilian Air Force career. I got to ride a few aircraft in, when I was in Air Force Systems Command.
Sure.
So I've been around airplanes a long time. So I'm not buying it.
Well, that poses a big problem, because that makes you an expert percipient witness. And again, Terry Marin is one as well, since he also a pilot, or I believe. And not to mention, Sean Boger reports a much slower speed. And of course, he would be an expert percipient witness as somebody who watches planes for a living, or aircraft for a living, from the heliport tower there.
Yeah, Terry's an F-4 guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's a Marine F-4.
Right.
Phantom.
Wow. So, you know, we've got quite a few experts corroborating a much slower speed. Now, that poses a big problem, too, with the idea that this plane completely disintegrated, leaving virtually no debris on the lawn, no recognizable, wings or tail pieces or anything that you would immediately recognize. A large plane hit the building. And in fact, many people were confused about what happened because of the lack of debris. So the official explanation requires that the plane is traveling 535 miles per hour or 460 knots, and that it levels out, that it descended. Because, you know, obviously there's a large descent in the topography from the Navy Annex leading to the Pentagon.
Sure. Yeah, that is true.
So the plane would have to be in a significant descent in order to get low enough to hit any light poles down there on Route 27, but then it has to pull up in order to be low and level. And it has to enter low and level in order to be reconciled with the physical damage. And also the security camera video. Have you seen the five-frame videos that went out that shows an ambiguous object going into the building low and level?
No, I didn't know there was any such thing.
That was leaked in 2002 and then officially released by the DOD in 2006. It's a security camera from outside of the building that basically just shows a smoke plume, a low and level smoke plume, and then a very ambiguous object that doesn't really look like a plane, and then a big explosion. Now, I want to tell you that we have no reason to believe a missile hit the Pentagon, and we think that the information we've uncovered proves that a missile did not hit the Pentagon. Because we've spoken, as I said, with dozens of witnesses. Nobody reports a missile. Everybody reports this big, large plane, just like you did. And they all corroborate this big, large plane on the north side, as directly over the Navy Annex, and then on the north side of the gas station. Everybody we spoke with who was in a position to see that gas station and see the plane in relation to it corroborates each other, and like I said, we're up to 15 times corroborated, many of them filmed on location. So it's extremely compelling evidence, and I'd say, in fact, that it's evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, the reason we think that stories of a second plane flying away during the explosion are dubious is because if the plane was where you place it, it's impossible for it to have caused the physical damage, Albert, and not just to the light poles, but also to the building, because if you read the ASCE building performance report, have you read that?
Nah, I haven't looked at any of that stuff. I truthfully, after what happened, it was one of those things where it was just too painful, and I just didn't look at that stuff.
I understand completely. But this report establishes the physical damage in extreme detail. And what they did was show you how the hole, the initial hole in the E-ring, the outer facade of the E-ring, leading all the way to the C-ring hole. I don't know if you saw that strange round hole in the C-ring, pictures of that ever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have seen that. Okay. Well, that was...
Yeah, that I've seen.
Okay. Well, that was allegedly the end of the damage. So, and that they called it the exit hole. So, the basically, all of the damage from the E-ring to that C-ring hole delineates a very specific trajectory. It's all directional. So, this damage, this directional trajectory, matches with all the official reports, including the 9/11 Commission, including this anomalous FDR data that was released in 2006.
So, but you say it doesn't match what Terry and I saw.
It doesn't match with what you saw. It does not match with the witnesses at the gas station saw. It does not match with what the witnesses at Arlington Cemetery saw. And it does not match with what Penny Elgis, who was a witness over on Route 27, saw, and several other witnesses, and even Mike Walter, who's one of the more famous witnesses to the attack. He's described the plane as banking on the north side of the gas station as well. So this is serious. Now, what we've done, Albert, is scour the internet for as many eyewitnesses as possible. And we went through the Library of Congress archives. There's a bunch of audio recordings that exist there from eyewitnesses, also just people who were involved with the attack on different levels, maybe didn't witness it. But we found one from a police officer. His name is Roosevelt Roberts, Jr., who describes himself as being at the East Loading Dock at the Pentagon. All right? And what he describes to the Library of Congress, this was recorded in November of 2001. He said that he was at the loading dock, and immediately after the explosion, he didn't know what was going on. He couldn't see any plane approach because he's on the other side of the building. Just a big explosion. He runs out to the loading dock, and what he said he saw was, quote, another plane as low as the light poles, banking around and flying away. So this was a rather interesting account, and in fact corroborates what you said, because if that plane was where you said it was, it couldn't have caused the physical damage, meaning it had to have continued on. Now, Roosevelt Roberts saw the plane continue on, and we eventually got a hold of him, and he confirmed that he saw this plane flying away within 10 seconds tops, like immediately after the explosion, and that it was only 40 feet high, and that it was a passenger jet airliner, Silver, with twin jet engines.
Yeah, the plane, I saw one plane, and I saw it hit.
Well, that is what most of the people, well, virtually everyone we talked with, certainly believed. But what, if the plane really was where you all place it, it's physically impossible for it to hit. And in essence, it means that this explosion somehow had to have diverted your attention from what the plane really did. And, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this isn't my theory. This is strictly what the eyewitnesses report and what science proves. Now, here's all I want to do for you, Albert. I want to provide you with these witness interviews. We have a DVD that contains these interviews. Again, filmed on location. You'll see it for yourself. You'll be able to judge what they have to say in relation to what you saw to determine the veracity of it. And it also lays out the official reports, you know, including the 9/11 Commission animation that I mentioned. The flight data recorder information released in 2006, and the ASCE building performance report. So we compare and contrast all this information with these eyewitnesses, and it's rather compelling. I think it's something that you should be taking a look at, given what you saw that day. Would you be willing to take a look at these interviews?
Yeah, what the heck, I'll look at it.
Okay.
Sure.
Then I'll mail you the DVD right away. What's your mailing address? All right. And how about your email? Got it. Okay. I appreciate you being for
the... Yeah, I'll look at it. You know, I can't argue anything you're saying, but, you know, all I can tell you is that I saw the one plane, and what I saw was I saw it hit.
Right. Well, You know, I don't want to go any further because, again, I'm not trying to argue with you either or tell you anything.
No. I mean, you certainly, you're going to react to what, you know, the conclusions you've drawn from data I haven't even seen or been privy to.
Right.
Excuse me. I mean, all I can do is tell you what I saw. And, you know, I didn't see the plane clear the Pentagon or anything like that.
Well, here's what's key, too, because the report of Roosevelt Roberts Jr. from the East Loading Dock seeing the plane, you know, he described it as being 50 feet altitude, so literally just barely above the light poles at that time, was after the explosion. So it's not like the plane was flying away at high altitude or that it peeled up really fast. It was low, which would mean you wouldn't see it as a result of the explosion. And also, low-flying planes, of course, as you know, particularly on the other side of the Pentagon, are rather commonplace as a result of Reagan National Airport being right next door to it. So this low-flying plane wouldn't be such an amazing sight to people who are on the highway, particularly as they're watching smoke billow out from the Pentagon, which, of course, would be an amazing sight.
Yeah, you know, certainly the sight of an aircraft snaking its way down the river, you know, going in front of the river entrance side of the Pentagon, coming from Roslyn and down, wouldn't be anything out of the ordinary.
Right. But of course, the plane directly over the Navy Annex and on the path that everyone else described was very conspicuous, and everyone noticed it approach. But what I'm talking about is after the explosion, the plane flying away, and again, we have documentation of this from a Pentagon police officer, would not be as conspicuous. Particularly as there's a large billowing smoke plume and explosion coming from the building, which is what people would be looking at naturally. So,
The only problem I've got with anything that this guy's saying, and from what I saw, is the plane that I saw from my vantage point didn't pull up, didn't turn right, didn't turn left. It went right into the Pentagon.
Well, that, you know, again, no eyewitness is going to be perfect. And I'll tell you, when you see the accounts of these other people who had a clear view of the approach, they do describe a bank as it approaches between the Navy, or between the gas station and Arlington Cemetery. Several of them corroborate a right bank. So, again, you know, it's a quick experience, and nobody's going to match perfectly. But when you get general details, such as the general location of the plane, corroborated on such a huge level as this, primarily the fact that it was directly over the Navy Annex and then north of the gas station, it becomes proof beyond a reasonable doubt, no matter what kind of other little details might happen to differ. It's just this.
What is the group you've been working with, what do they think it was then, if it wasn't the aircraft that hit?
Well, we can only speculate. You know, if the aircraft didn't hit, the only logical conclusion at this point, since nobody else saw a different aircraft or two aircrafts at that time, and nobody saw a missile, nobody saw anything go into that building on the south side. Nobody saw something flying on the south side of Columbia Pike where it needed to be to line up with these light poles and all of the physical damage. So because of that, the only logical conclusion, as crazy as it sounds, is that the damage was caused covertly, from within, with pre-planted explosives. And I hate to have to, you know, say that, because again, I don't want you to think that we're sitting here theorizing, because we don't. In fact, we're just presenting what the witnesses saw and contrasting it with the official reports, and it happens to pose a serious problem. At the very least, it proves that these official reports have been fabricated, including the flight data recorder, which also has many problems on its own right. Pilots for 9/11 Truth, we work with them. We've got they've got hundreds of pilots who are looking to get the truth of 9/11, and experts, crash investigators, all kinds of people who've looked at this and said, look, there's problems. And then when it comes down to the eyewitnesses proving something that's so at odds with what we've been told, it's a serious problem, particularly as Obama continues the war on terror as a result of this heinous attack.
Wow.
So, Albert, again, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me and and well, to give me your account, number one. Number two, to listen to what we've uncovered. But number three, to be willing to look at the information. The fact that you are forthright, the fact that you're corroborated by so many eyewitnesses, and the fact that you're willing to listen to what they have to say speaks volumes as to your honesty. And I'll tell you right now, that's my absolute belief right now. You know, we're not out to call witnesses liars or paint a bad picture. But I can tell you, I just spoke with Lee Evie, the Pentagon Renovation Program Manager, yesterday. And, well, actually on Friday. And he told me that he's not willing to look at the witness interviews. So that was kind of interesting, too. It didn't seem to make much sense to me why he wouldn't be willing to even look at the interviews. Because, again, this isn't what I'm trying to tell you, what I believe. I'm reporting what the witnesses told us. And you're one of them now, Albert.
Well, I mean, it's a curiosity now to see what, it's been a lot of years now, and what have the others, said?
The other witnesses?
Yeah, I'd just be curious to see, because I went on some of the websites, and, I read a lot of crap of the, oh, it was a missile attack, or, it was this or it was that, and,
right. Yeah, there's a lot of garbage out there, and it threw people off the wrong track. And frankly, this security camera video that the DOD leaked in 2002 and then officially released in 2006 did not take away any of the theories. In fact, what it did was fuel the idea that a missile hit this building, because kind of what it shows in this camera is a missile. But frankly, it doesn't look, it's very ambiguous. It has a smoke plume that it doesn't cast a shadow. So I really have no reason to believe what's shown in this video at all. Since, of course, it doesn't jive with what the witnesses I spoke with said. And, of course, there's nothing to corroborate the notion that a missile hit. But the point is, this DOD released video fueled the missile conspiracy theories. Right? It certainly did. And it's an unfortunate, but, here we are, 2010, coming on the 9th anniversary, and the amount of data that we've amassed, and I live in California, I've on my own dime, flown to Arlington several times to obtain this evidence and obtain this information and get to the bottom of it, because we figured, look, we're not going to be able to trust what the government gave us if this was indeed a false flag attack. So the only way we're going to find out the truth is by knocking on doors and talking to the people who were there. And, after talking with dozens of witnesses, it's pretty clear now.
Well, I'm rather speechless at this point. Man.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. And again, I'm not trying to to ruin your day or your life moving forward, but I think once you see this information, you're going to realize that what you saw does corroborate these other witnesses, and you'll easily understand why it fatally contradicts the official story on several levels. And the notion of a plane impact.
Well, the only trouble I have with that is if it wasn't, where did the plane go that I saw if it didn't hit the Pentagon?
Well, if it didn't hit the Pentagon, it proves that this was a false flag, psychological black operation of deception. So, if the question is it within covert military ops capabilities to fly this plane somewhere and dispose of it in some secretive manner, I'd have to say that if they can certainly fool people into believing it hit when it didn't, and that they're doing an operation of this sort, then certainly the answer to that question would be yes. What they did with it, we don't know. We can't prove. But even the 9/11 Commission report admits that Flight 77 was lost from radar as early as 8:56. Now, the explosion at the Pentagon wasn't until about 9:38. So that's over a half hour, going on 45 minutes after they admit that it was completely lost. And they had no clue where it was. And I don't know if you're familiar with Operation Northwoods, the declassified document from the 60s. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Well, it was a document that made it all the way up to the top, all the way up to JFK, before it was turned down. In essence, it had a bunch of scenarios planned in order to create a false flag attack against or from Cuba. in order to justify a war against Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And during this, in this document, they actually outline, in essence, a plane swap in order to fake an attack on a civilian airliner from Cuba. So the precedent is there for this type of an operation. And if everything we saw added up, if what the witnesses told us made sense with the physical damage, I was ready and willing and happy to accept the official story and go home and call it a day. But time and time again, over and over and over, the exact opposite has happened. So that's why I'm here still talking to you and then talking to even more witnesses. And frankly, we're running out. There's not too many. That's why we actually knocked on doors to find witnesses that weren't even cited by the media at all. Find independent witnesses that nobody knew about. And really...
Well, there, at that time of the morning, there had to have been all kinds of folks in the Pentagon South parking lot that would have seen it, or on Columbia Pike, or, you know, on the Cemetery Road, looking for a parking space at the Navy Annex.
Yeah, and again, we've spoken with dozens of them, including, you're right, there were some in South Parking, and there was the one who saw the plane flying away at South Parking. And we've also got a hold of another guy who said he was in South Parking, who's scared to death to talk about what he saw that day, and refuses to talk about it, even though he's been cited in the media. So, he's scared to talk about it, and it's clear. His name's DeWitt Roseboro. And now we've got Roosevelt Roberts, who's afraid to talk about further about what he saw, even though he's already documented seeing this plane flying away in 2001 by the Library of Congress, and it's been independently confirmed by us in 2008 when we did another interview with him. So there's no way he can back out of it now, even though he's doesn't want to talk about it. So there's a lot of people afraid to talk. Plus, there's people who are inside that building. Namely, victim April Gallup, who was right there in the E-ring and almost lost her life that day. It was her first day back from maternity leave, and she had her two-month-old baby with her. And her baby almost died as well. Both of them survived, and to this day, she doesn't believe a plane hit that building and has even filed lawsuits, which typically get thrown out. So when you've got people who are inside the building questioning the account, you've got people, first responders outside of the building. We've spoken with a first responder who specifically says he was all throughout that building, and no way does he believe that a plane hit it, because he didn't see any debris. He saw small pieces, nothing recognizable, nothing significant. And again, if that plane is going as slow as you thought it was, and Terry Marin thought it was, and Sean Boger, the heliport tower air traffic controller, thought it was, the notion that it's just going to completely disintegrate and leave virtually no debris, certainly no large pieces of debris, is really, frankly, pretty ludicrous.
Well, in my mind, I mean, you can tell me I'm wrong, but this is what I thought all along, was that because the guy had just taken off from Dulles, he would add a full fuel load. So those amateur pilots that hijacked the thing, I doubt, would know how to vent. So yeah, I don't remember hearing any reports of a large aircraft venting fuel in the Washington area prior to the attack. So my assumption was he still had a full fuel load. So you're talking about thousands and thousands of pounds of Jet 1A in that aircraft. And so I figured that big of a load of fuel makes it into just literally a flying bomb. So that's why it disintegrated to the extent it did.
Yeah, but the problem is it entered all the physical damage is at the bottom floor. You said that the second floor, and there is some damage to the second floor, but the ACE building performance report documents that it entered at the very bottom floor and caused that hole that then went all the way through the building and caused that strange hole in the C-ring. The problem is there's nothing on the other side of that C-ring hole. And there's no damage to the foundation of the building, no documented damage to the foundation, or to the lawn out front. So, and plus, the plane didn't just take off from Dulles. According to the official reports and the data, it made it all the way to the Kentucky-Ohio border before it turned back around. Now, again, this is where they lost it on radar and never had no clue where it flew on that day. So we don't know what happened after that point for real. And the evidence implicates that, you know, something, that there's some other plane that was brought in there, because if that plane didn't hit, there's no reason to believe it was Flight 77. And there's also been no matching to what debris there was found. There's been no positive identification, meaning they've typically after a plane crash, they'll actually try to rebuild the craft, and you know, you'll get matching of serial numbers of the parts. And these reports are usually publicly available via FOIA. Well, no such thing exists for 9/11, for the attack on the Pentagon, and none of the small pieces of debris that have been found have been positively identified to Flight 77. So again, the questions and the problems are numerous on many levels, and it's not anything that we've made up. And we've got first responders, victims, and several eyewitnesses now who not only question the event but prove it false. And once again, Albert, you are now added to the list, and in fact, you were anyway, just from your written account. You describe that plane as directly over the Navy Annex. So because of that, we already knew that that contradicted the official reports.
Well, I think my write-up, it was in that email that I originally sent out, I think was pretty accurate to everything I saw. Even today, I would stand by it as being accurate.
Yeah, well, again, and it poses a big problem, and not only was that your fresh account of what happened at that time, but that's how you remember it today, and again, this is corroborated. Hi, Albert, I guess I lost you. Sorry about that. But yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, clearly we've gone through it all, and I just wanted to say thank you again and let you know that I'm going to be getting that information off for you. And I appreciate it.
I'll take a look at it, you know, and I can tell you what I think. But gosh, I don't know. You know, it just, you know, it's kind of, I don't know what to say. And you know, I can only, I think you may have cut off before you heard me say this, but I said that I think what I wrote in my email that became part of the official record and what I said today to you were pretty consistent. And you know, I can't change whether, you know, I saw what I saw, so that's kind of where, you know, where it stands. So
precisely, and again, I appreciate you just being honest with me about all that, and I definitely look forward to hearing your reaction to the other interviews that we've uncovered here and put out there in the public domain. So again, my name's Craig Ranke. Our organization is Citizen Investigation Team, and I'm going to get that off for you right away, Albert.
Okay, I'll take a look.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.